Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
It's not Leslie yet. We should change that sometime. Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you are an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or merely an art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art. I'm the one that they call Clinton, and I am here, believe it or not, just as Jeff has said, with the person who puts the fun day in your Sunday, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Good morning, Clinton. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Leslie?
I am really tired. But it's okay because it's a show hangover. That's what it is.
It's a show hangover?
Yes. It's a getting ready for a show hangover.
Oh, it's not because you've seen a show hangover. It's not like you saw a show where they passed out drinks at the end and just and partied.
No, I
partied hardied. Partaken in the hardiness.
No. Partial
to the hardiness.
Yesterday I auditioned for a show. I went and cleaned the theater to get ready for my show, and then I went and had some fun. I went to a friend's birthday party.
What? There's no art involved in the going to the friend's birthday party. What you doing?
There was a lot of art at the birthday party because it was a theater friend. So there was a lot of art.
Unless you guys sold tickets and had people there, I call no art. I call artless.
No, it was Megan's birthday party.
Well, if it's Megan.
See?
If it's Megan.
See? She had this huge button that she wore the entire time that said Rockstar on it.
I don't think we should talk about Megan's huge button on the air. I don't think she would appreciate that.
Stop working blue.
I always work blue, baby. I work black. That's what I... And talking about work, before we get into it, we should probably get on about it, which that is to say... Our parental advisory to advise the parentals out there. It's a responsibility that we take really seriously, and that's why we're here to tell you that at one point in our wacky crazy show, we may say the word shiatsu. Oh my gosh, shiatsu. What the shiatsu could that be about? So please, please, if you have kids... If you have little ones and you don't want to explain to them why they're too young to be engaging in some rampant shiatsu, especially unsupervised, rampant unsupervised shiatsu, then perhaps you should send them out to their morning prayers and their daily course around the block asking people if they've thought about their immortal souls. All right.
Wow, that's a word. That's okay. We should move on to our first guest.
All right. I laugh because they've just informed me that I've been mispronouncing the name of their band and miswriting the name of their band for the last 3 weeks.
This is what you get for being polite and not correcting people.
You should. When you see people and they've got the booger and it's just hanging right there, you're not helping anybody by not. You got to tell them. Here I am with our man, fellow man, and Addison Dodds from the band Beldum.
Beldum, that is right.
Perfect.
Yes. Good job.
What's up, my boys?
I go by my government name when I'm part of Beldum, so you can call me Cullen.
What?
Wade. Yeah, I know. It's weird to be in here asking you to call me by my government name, but people get confused if you don't.
I get it. You gotta switch it, especially with the government. You got to switch it up. Because you never know who's going to be coming at you for what.
Okay, so here's the weird thing, because I never knew your government name until literally this moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. like, that's just not how I know you, so that's kind of strange.
I mean, you don't have to call me, that when you see me out in the street, but...
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. All right, I'm okay now.
Promo for Beldum, I'm Cullen Wade. That's how we work it.
So tell us about Beldum. Like, how long have you guys been together?
The band's probably been together for about, I think since, 2013?
Yeah, that was when y'all first got together. Yeah,
Graham and I, the guitarist, we got together and decided that we were going to, we really just wanted to make noise. And we kind of came on common ground on what we wanted to do. And slowly we just got songs together and pulled in the vocalist at the time. And then we got Cullen over here to roll in, and we just started playing shows to see where it went.
So for those out there who don't know Beldum, how would you describe the type of music you play?
The type of music, it's kind of a broad genre, the wide variety of it being doom, but we're more affiliated with the doom and sludge side of it, which is much more riff heavy. It's not as slow, though there are some slow parts on this album. It's mainly just really big, heavy riffs, and that, you know.
Okay, so metal is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clarify for those who didn't know the lingo, you know.
So since I'm going to assume that you guys are experts, can you break it down for me? Difference between doom metal, sludge metal, speed metal, death metal.
All right.
That's tough.
All right. So here you go, right? So the genre of heavy metal was started, most people agree, by a band called Black Sabbath, whom I'm sure you know, around 1969, when their first record came out. And they played down-tuned, distorted, heavy, slow blues, basically.
Yeah.
After a couple years, the blues started to be bled out of the music a little bit, and you were left with a lot of minor key stuff, a lot of tritone stuff. It was slow, it was depressing, it was dark, it was evil. And there were other bands that picked up on that. Some bands took a more speedy approach to it, and that's where you got your branch of your speed metal and your, you know, traditional heavy metal, and, you know, which led to thrash metal and all of that. And then the other side went with the slow, the dark, the depressing, the mournful, the lugubrious, the funereal, and that turned into doom metal. Traditional doom metal usually has clean vocals. Sludge metal is more feedback on the guitars, more distortion, more down-tuned, and usually has extreme vocals, screams, growls, yells, you know, whimpers.
Whimpers?
So that's your basic, like, what's the difference between different kinds of metal and what we play, in a nutshell.
Okay. All right. So, so you guys have been together since 2013. And how many shows have you done in this area?
In this area, I probably like around 10. We started out in the area, and then we kind of graduated towards Richmond a little bit. We've been trying to reach out further outside of the state, which we're coming in the forthcoming months. We're going to be going towards that route. But we really focused in town for a while. We played at the Ante Room and a few house shows, just to kind of get the word out that we're out there. And Williamsburg, Stanton, you know, just the surrounding areas.
Okay.
Harrisonburg.
Yeah. Okay. So if someone comes to a Beldum show, what can they expect?
Well, first and foremost, bring some earplugs.
Oh, wow. We put that right up front there, didn't
we?
Okay.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be slow. And, you know, we want people to have fun. We don't want people to go deaf. But, no. Yeah, just show up with a positive attitude and be kind of ready to lose it, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on a high, leave on a low. That's our slogan.
Okay, so who writes your songs?
Writing the songs is, we have an interesting approach to it. We actually don't get together when we write songs. I will write a song, and Graham, our guitarist, will write a song. And then we kind of just stew on it for a while, and eventually we all come together in practice, or Graham and I will get together and we'll go over, you know, the skeleton of the song and be like, is it okay, is it not, what do we want to change, you know, what are we complaining about, let's fix it. And then we'll bring it into practice and we'll get Cullen involved, and then he'll trash everything we say and get us back on the right road.
Because if we're left to our own devices, you know, it's terrible. Like, we already have hard enough time signatures.
Nothing but 12-minute songs and, you know, just, yeah, 20 time signatures per song.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So, like, I think there's a common misconception about bands, mainly from people who haven't been in bands, that you write songs all together and that you just get in the studio or the practice space and magic just happens and you do it. Most of the musical collaborations I've been part of, it's usually one person brings most of the ideas to the table. I think most bands have a principal songwriter.
Yeah.
You know, in metal, it's usually somebody has a handful of riffs and they come, you know, they come through with the riffs and then, you know, you kind of work them out in practice. But it's usually, you know, like, I find musical collaboration is often, more often done, you know, in private or, you know, in isolation than
right.
it is all together. If we tried to, like, write a song from the ground up in practice, I don't think we would get anywhere.
Well, and that was my next question. Like, what, for you guys, what comes first, lyrics or music?
Lyrics definitely come last for us. Generally, we'll almost have a song completed before lyrics even get involved in it. Of course, the vocalist, Randall, he's there all the time listening, taking notes, and he's just, you know, writing it all out, trying to get it figured out for when it actually does come together. And, of course, he'll do, you know, practice runs through there, kind of setting the pace of what he wants to do.
Right.
And we'll just ignore him and just keep playing. So. But, you know, it's just so we can learn the song and we can get it tighter, and he's just, you know, in the background just running through the math in his head, getting it right. I mean, it's a pain to write for our songs because, like Cullen said, you know, we're all over the place.
Okay. So he's just kind of learned the progression and just goes with the flow?
He's done a great job of learning it. But we'll kind of run through it, and then Graham and I, or just Graham himself, we'll record something just at home on the computer, and then we'll send the track to Randall. And usually he'll write it all out without us even being involved, and he'll just show up one day, and boom, we have a completed song now.
You have lyrics.
And it's great.
Wow.
Is there ever a moment where Randall just loses it and just steps in and says, guys, just give me a measure of 4/4. Just give me 2 or 3 4/4s just for this freaking line.
You know, I, as the drummer, would be more likely to be yelling that than Randall would. I have to be on my toes a lot, you know, because there's not, you know, we try to keep it as steady as possible. And actually, our songs have quite a bit of groove, but it's always a little bit of an off-kilter groove. We play a lot with time and we play a lot with tempo also. So, like, you know, it's not like, you know, you'll be nodding your head or you'll be headbanging, but not for long, because then we'll switch it up on you and then you got to find, you know, find a way to headbang to the new thing. But it's cool, you know, keep it moving. Right. Keep it moving and grooving. This is Cullen from Veldom. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 FM.
Yeah! Live drop!
Live drop.
On the spot.
Yeah. Indeed. 17 minutes past the hour. If you weren't awake before that, then you got to be awake now.
So are we? Are we the first extreme metal band to be played on Homegrown?
Yes, you are, baby.
Yes, indeed.
And perhaps on 94.7. In general.
Probably. Maybe. Yes, all sir. Right.
That's what's up. Cool.
Okay, so that there was a long lead-in. Like, there was... so are all of your songs like that? It takes that long time. I mean, that's a huge arc. And that's to me, that's reminiscent of jazz. You know, when musicians take a long time to like lead into where they're going and like really take their audience on a journey.
Or some of that 70, like some, you know, Deep Stax, Isaac Hayes, 70 Soul.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that is a big influence for us because, I mean, us being the rhythm section and our guitarists, you know, like, I mean, we listen to a lot of Coltrane. We listen to a lot of Marcus Miller. You know, I mean, we're not restricting ourselves to metal whatsoever. Like, we know where the music comes from and we're a fan of what has come from it. So, I mean, we all pull it together. But as far as lead-ins go, yeah, we have a bad habit of making long lead-ins. It's just a nice way to warm you up to what's coming, you know. Yeah.
But it's just that. It's just what you said. It's this. It's a really effective warm-up. It's like, you know, you're trolling the hook in the water. And for our radio listeners, I want to say, for the record, Leslie M. Scott-Jones banging her head just a little bit. It was going. By the time the kick came in, she was there.
You know, I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up with heavy metal and I loved it.
No,
like you mentioned.
That was not heavy metal.
No, like, I mean, I
you,
grew up with that.
If you talk about those weak, limp hair bands that were prancing around on MTV.
Excuse me? I was a huge Black Sabbath fan, okay, when I was in high school.
Schooled.
Huge.
Okay, schooled.
Always a good choice.
Okay, you know, so I headbang with the best of them.
When somebody questions your metalhead credibility, just... Yeah, throw out Black Sabbath. That's always good.
I mean, like, because that was it, right? That I mean, that's the epitome, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Hail Iommi.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys, I believe you are also the first band that we've had here that actually has a record deal. You guys are signed to a label and all of that.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? Like, because we, you know, as you know, Colin, you've been here before. We like to talk to artists about, you know, the business side of their art and how they get there and how they manage that. Mm. So please school us. How did that happen?
Horror, Pain, Gore, Death Productions is the name of our label.
Wow. All right.
Unsubtle name. Out of Philly, right?
Philly.
Yep, Philly. Mike Giuliano. Shouts out to Mike.
I really wanted to be out of someplace like Peoria. Horror, Pain, Death. Out of Scranton.
Out of Martha's Vineyard. Yeah.
Out of Chambersville.
Chichester. You know, labels, it works a little differently in underground metal than it does in other kinds of music. You know, a record deal is not a, you know, million-dollar making proposition.
Right. Well, and I think that's the biggest preconception that anybody in the music business or wants to get into the music business has. Like, I'll just get a deal and I'll have millions and everything will be cool.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's, you're dealing with a small scene, you know, underground scene, independent labels, you know, just everybody basically doing it as a labor of love. I know we're not trying to get rich off it, though, you know, I'm not excluding the possibility. I'm not foreclosing on that. But, you know, it's not really about that. It's, you know, basically we put a demo together. We recorded a 5-song demo with a local fella named Drew Carroll, who's since moved to Nashville. Shouts to Drew. And we basically shopped that around, sent it around to different labels, made inquiries, and got a got a nibble eventually. Got a couple nibbles, actually. One of them worked out. And here we are, Horror, Pain, Gore, Death.
That's awesome.
Drew, has Drew been around town for a while? I know Drew.
Yeah, you know Drew.
I know Drew.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all travel in similar circles.
Yeah. Say hello to Drew for me.
Clinton knows everyone.
I don't know everyone.
No, he knows everyone.
I don't know everyone.
He tells you that he doesn't know anybody.
Uh-huh.
But
because I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
I had no idea that he was friends with our guitarist, Graham. It just
See?
It just happened, yeah.
Right. He knows absolutely everybody. And he will tell you, I don't know anybody. Nobody knows me. Nobody knows who I am.
Yeah, I do that too. I have low self-esteem. I assume that nobody knows who I am.
All right. So when is the next time that we can see you guys? Because now that I've heard this, I am like, I am so psyched to come to a show. So when's the next show? Where is it? Where can we? Where can we get the CD?
The CD. That's an easy answer. That can be found on our Bandcamp, which will just be BeldumOfficialBandcamp.com. And there's links on our Facebook, which is also Beldum Official. And you can get it from our record company also, which is just Horror, Pain, Gore, Death. He has it on there on his website for sale and on his Bandcamp. As far as shows, I think our next one that's going to be around town is something in the works for July 30th, which will be kind of a nice surprise and something that doesn't happen a lot in Charlottesville. You know, we're not going to give too much away because not everything's set in stone yet, but it should be a fun little event that's slowly building into something bigger.
Okay, well, definitely let us know as that comes together because we will announce it for you. We want people to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also another way to get the album is see me in the street and I'll give you one.
There you go. There you go.
Cullen's always trying to help
out the little guy. He will
make sure you got $10 to $15 on you when you see him. I've learned he'll hit you up for that. It's like, thank you so much for support. No, don't put the hand away. The hand goes right in the pocket. The hand goes right in the pocket and then comes back out. Brother's gotta eat. Cullen, Addison, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Welcome, man. Pleasure.
Thanks for coming on Homegrown. We'll have you back. Yes.
Awesome.
All right. It is 24 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after this, of course, from the Sunday morning wake-up call. But first, let's talk about some other things that you can see in this wonderful artistic town of ours. This is the last day to catch out events for the Look 3 Photo Festival. In fact, I think it's Family Photo Day at 11 p.m. directly after our show at the Jefferson School for American Heritage, African American Heritage Center. And also the closing lecture and screening at 4 p.m. at City Arts. Currently running at the Klugiru Aboriginal Art Collection, it's Yimar Duwara, Artist of the River. Which you should know if you'd heard our show, because we talked to the curator about that. That was really great. Also currently running until August 28th, American Shakespeare Center's summer season has started! Catch Twelfth Night and King Lear by Shakespeare, and also the modern musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Currently running until June 22nd, Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike over at Oak Grove Theater in Verona, Virginia. Theater under the stars over the other side of the mountain. 2 weeks left to see this month's exhibits all over in art galleries, including Mine Mind and Sunken City at the Second Street Gallery, and of course Iconic Memory, Capturing the Fugitive at Chroma Projects, and Yearnings at New City Arts Initiative. We spoke to the curator about that, Leslie, just last week. June 21st is the Virginia Film Festival's VFF at the Violent Crown series, Schneider versus Box. Dutch director Alex van Warmerdam's darkly comic crime thriller about two contract killers who are unwittingly pitted against each other on their day off. 7:30 p.m. at the Violent Crown. Catch it. June 23rd, Bent Theater Company Improv Showdown. Improv Comedy Showdown at the Bridge PAI. Check those out, our guys at Bent Theater. June 24th, the Virginia Film Festival's Moonlight Movies comes to catch you. Check it out. June 24th, you know what it is? It's Beach Blanket Bingo at the Ix Art Park. I kid you not. Yes, it's Frankie. It's Annette.
It's Annette Funicello.
Who puts the fun in Funicello? Don't miss that. Beach Blanket Bingo at the It's Ix Art Park, the Virginia Film Festival's Moonlight Movies Series. June 25th, Midsummer Masked Ball at Guerrilla Theater. They're going to have refreshments, silent auction, dancing, and proceeds, all going to support Guerrilla Theater's education programs. A good thing to do. June 27th to 28th, auditions, speaking Guerrilla Theater, for True West at the Guerrilla Theater, the Sam Shepard Classic. June 28th, the Blue Ridge Abortion Assistance Fund and Charlottesville Now present Trapped, the award-winning documentary about TRAP laws. TRAP standing for Targeted Regulation of Abortion Providers, about TRAP laws that are appearing in all these southern states, including Virginia. Free at the Central Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, 7 p.m. Go check it out. See this documentary. Find out what people are trying to do to restrict your rights. This afternoon, and to look at some of the musical stuff going on, this afternoon it's the John Spear Band at Star Hill Brewery and Tap Room. This evening, Bobby Reed at the Ante Room. June 21st, the Charlottesville Municipal Band does its summer series at the MLK Performance Space at CHS. And also June 21st, Travis Elliott over at Fellini's. June 23rd, it's the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's. June 25th, Drum Up, West African Drum Circle at the Ix Art Park. And also at June 25th, the Legwarmers play the Jefferson Theater. Get your 80s on. Velvet People Collective is at the Bebedero. The Robert Jospe Express is at Fellini's. And LG and Friends is at the Whiskey Jar. And every Monday, it's the Singer-Songwriter Night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. On Wednesday, it's the open mic night at Prairie Nada Farm Brewery. Bob Benetta at Cafe Couture. The Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And Jim Wave at the Blue Moon Diner. Every Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And if that doesn't light your fire, then fly over to Miller's and catch the John Dirth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dirth. And that's just some of the wonderful artistic events that we have in our wonderful artistic town. If you are an artist and have an event and you'd like our listeners to know about it, we would like them to know about it. Contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email us at our handy dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. 29 minutes past the hour. You're listening, of course, to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after our lovely and plucky little show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. It's the big time as Rick Moore talks to Jordy Yeager, who's written this week's cover story for the Seville Weekly. I think maybe they're talking about some incarceration. They're talking about some race. They're talking about black kids being sent away to places where you cannot get easy shiatsu.
Hi, this is Charlie Pasterfield.
Susan Munson.
And Stuart Holm.
From Mama Tried.
And you're listening to
Homegrown Radio on 94.7.
Our next guest comes to us to talk about the world of film. Lorenzo Dickerson, how are you doing?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for joining us, Lorenzo.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, tell us about you and film. You're a filmmaker, right?
Correct. Working on bringing documentary film to Charlottesville and telling the stories of the local area so people can learn from them.
So why documentary film? Because I love documentary films, and I know some people who love documentary films, but correct me if I'm wrong, it's a bit of, is it fair to say that it's a niche market? Because usually when people think of films, they think of fictional films, they think of feature films, stuff like that, and they don't think, unless they're thinking of Ken Burns, they don't think of documentary films, which are great. So why documentary films?
I'm really interested in telling the story. I consider myself a storyteller, so I really want to tell that story. And I feel like the best way to tell the story is from the people who have lived whatever that story is. So that's why I really enjoy making documentaries. I personally like getting the story from the individual and meeting those people and learning about their lives and their experiences.
So you're coming to the story from a place of truth.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. So what kinds of stories have you told so far?
Sure. Well, my first film was called The Coachman, and that's available on Amazon. But that film actually was birthed from me doing my own ancestry research. So I was putting together my family tree and wanting to share that with my family.
Right.
But I would find out bits and pieces of information and tell them. They would get excited. But it was different. It was difficult for them to put those pieces together and understand it. Right.
Right. Right.
So I decided, you know what, I'll just make a film so they can watch it from beginning to end and fully understand the story. So that was my first film, and since then I've made a few others, which some of them you'll be able to see in the Moppintown Film Festival coming next month.
Okay, so how did you get started with the film festival? Was this something that was already going on and you came onto it, or is something you started?
Yeah, something that I started.
Of course, because that's what we do.
So started it. Actually, the first one was in February of this year, and it was done at my family's church, which is St. John Baptist Church in Cobham, which is actually Keswick now.
Yes,
Shout out to them. They're having church service right about now.
You got permission, right, to miss this morning, right?
You mean they're not missing church service to listen to our show? What's up with that?
Right.
We were the one.
There's a podcast. There's a podcast. I'm sure every member will be listening.
Yes, yeah, so, we had the first one there, and decided to bring the second one here to Charlottesville City and to the Jefferson School, and to reach a larger audience.
That's great. So what can we expect to see in the festival?
Sure. We're going to have 12 films altogether, and you'll be able to see films of African-American history, education, social justice issues. I have a film called Anywhere But Here, which is an interview series with 13 African-American men who are incarcerated at the local Albemarle Charlottesville Regional Jail.
Really?
So it tells the story of their lives, how they got into that situation.
Whoa!
That's crazy. So how did you come up with that idea?
It's, you know, really just, I'm constantly coming up with story ideas. I keep story ideas in my phone, so I have a running list. And
I'm not the only one that does that.
I've been wanting to make that film for a while, and I'm originally from here. But I've been gone for about 12 years. I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina. I lived in Maryland. And once I came back home to Charlottesville, the ideas really started flowing being back home.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to get the jail to let you film?
Interestingly, it wasn't. I expected it to be very difficult. I simply sent them an email, told them what I wanted to do, and they emailed me back just within a few days and said, sure, come on over, let's do it.
Seriously?
Yeah, I was extremely surprised. I definitely didn't expect that one.
So how did you choose who to interview?
I told the jail what I was looking for, and they actually they put out a call to the inmates there to find out who was interested. They got responses from the inmates, and then they picked the people from there. So they had everyone set up. By the time I came in, they had people just waiting for me to interview.
That's so okay. That's awesome. But I, like you say, not something you would expect. Yeah. You would expect that it was going to be really, really hard.
Right, definitely.
Okay, so what are the other films about?
Sure. I also have a film called Color Line of Scrimmage. That film is about the 1956 Burley High School football team.
Nice title.
Thank you. That football team was undefeated and unscored upon for the entire season. So this
wow.
An amazing feat. And actually, after those films play at the film festival, you'll be able to have a question and answer session with three of the gentlemen that were on that football team.
Oh, wow.
As well as some of the men that were at the jail that have now been released, telling their story. So they'll be there as well.
That's so great. So how long is the festival?
Festival is July 16th and 17th. So we start at 10 a.m. on Saturday the 16th, and then we start back up at 2 o'clock on Sunday the 17th.
So do all of the films have talkbacks afterwards, or just those two?
Not all of them. Those two, and then a couple of others that have where we have the filmmaker there. We have one about Julian Bond and the filmmaker Eduardo Montes Bradley. He will be there doing a question and answer session as well. Then there's a few other films as well too.
So are all of these films feature length, or some of these short films? What are the lengths of the films, sure. And how many different filmmakers are we talking about?
Quite a few different filmmakers. The shortest film is 30 minutes. The longest film is about 2 hours. So we have documentary films, some stuff that you is more obscure and you haven't heard of before. We have a documentary series. It's a collection of about 4 minute films that we're going to play back to back, and it's called Battle Flag. And that actually tells the story of the Confederate flag, something that, you know, we're talking about right now,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But it tells both sides. So you have two African-American students from R.E. Lee who fought to get the battle flag removed from Lee Chapel.
Right.
But then you also have some people in that film that support the battle flag, even an African-American woman who supports the battle flag. So you'll get to see both sides. But then we also have... The theatrical Mandela movie starring Idris Elba, that
Yay!
Will be in the film festival as well.
Ooh, love Idris. love Idris. Oh my.
I'll just let Leslie sit with that for a while.
Yeah.
How did you get that film? I mean, what did you have to go through? How did you get the rights to show that?
It's pretty easy. I mean, if you contact it's when you contact people, I mean, people are very nice and they're willing to allow you to show the film, because also the film festival in Charlottesville is free. So everyone's welcome. Please come out. It's free to the public. Just come in, sit down, enjoy yourself. Enjoy the discussions afterwards.
So like I said before, you know, we love to have conversations about the business side of art and how that kind of works. So how in the world did you get did you arrange it so that this is free to the public?
Really, a lot of the films I've been able to get the rights to the film for free.
Really?
By simply asking, you know, reaching out. I keep track of these films. You know, I'm a watcher of film. I'm a lover of film.
Right.
So I'm very aware of what's out there. And when I contact filmmakers, they say, sure, just, you know, let me know. I'll get you a copy of the film for you to show it in the film festival. And I think it being free to the public is something that's a big draw to people.
Right, because if it's free to the public, then they know that nobody's getting money
exactly.
That they're not getting a piece of.
Right.
Right, right. Wow, that's really amazing. What's the next step for the Moppin' Town? Where did that come from? First of all,
yeah, Moppin' Town. So my company, my production company, Moppin' Town Media.
Okay.
The reason that I named it that is because again, I'm a lover of history and mm-hmm. storytelling,
mm-hmm.
and as a kid, I would sit at the feet of my grandparents and ask them to tell me stories of the olden days, right?
Yes.
So they would sit there and tell me stories for hours. And my mother's mother, her last name is Maupin. She's from Ivy, Virginia. And she would always tell me a story.
Nice.
About going to a place called Moppin' Town, well, in the summertime, where all the Maupins are from. And I haven't
yes.
found that place or been to that place yet, but it's something that's just constantly intriguing to me.
Okay, so as someone who has grown up in Charlottesville, both sides of my family are from Louisa and Scottsville, and there's 10 billion of us. I'm definitely feeling you with that right now, because I mean, I could spit and hit a cousin. Like, there's a lot of us. If you are in or around Charlottesville, you either are family or know my family. That's
right.
You know, there's a lot.
Can't go anywhere without seeing someone that you
right?
know.
Seeing right? somebody or somebody going back to, you know, your auntie and be like, hey, I saw her.
Right.
I saw her. You might want to call her and figure out what she's doing, because I saw her.
Yeah, and I'm the one who knows everybody. Right. So what I'm familiar with, if I can even call it familiarity in terms of the world of film, is I think the exposure that just about everyone has, which is big budget, huge Hollywood films where you've got a tremendously large international production company that's got, that either has its own distribution wing or pairs with other distribution companies to throw the stuff out through large national or maybe international owned circuits of theaters. And that's how you see stuff coming to your local Googleplex, right? For other films, for the world of the beginning filmmaker or the small filmmaker or the type of people that you're talking about, what is it you make a film and you put your heart and soul in it and you got 30 good minutes. What are your options for getting it out? And like you say, oh, you're a lover of film. How did you find these? Like, right. Where did you see them?
As far as finding films, Vimeo.com is a great source. And the HD quality of the films there is fantastic, but you'll see a lot of obscure items on that site that you haven't seen before that are very independent. And some of the films in the film festival came from there. There's a film there called Black Males, Black Dreams that'll be in the film festival. And that was done by two professors at Syracuse University. The Battle Flag film, they have theirs on there as well. But it's really interesting because filmmaking today is definitely, you know, different than the past. So anyone can become a filmmaker and tell that story fairly easily. Now the way equipment is readily available to you, distribution via online, social media, that type of thing. I just so happen to be my background is in digital marketing. So I've done digital marketing for web startups, the federal government, schools, that type of thing. So I have that background that I can bring into distributing my own films and marketing my own films. So it works out well. But today with the equipment, anyone can really do it. I know the first film that I mentioned, The Coachman, most of that film was filmed on an iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Which is just, it's mind boggling. Yeah. Well, and now every digital camera you buy, you know, it's not just shooting pictures, it can do video. So, correct. and good video. Mm-hmm. Like it's not, you know, that old handheld that your grandma had. Like right. It's it's some good stuff.
You got to understand, it's just I'm old. I'm old enough that when I was a kid, when I was like an early teenager, a buddy of mine, his parents got a camera, a handheld camera that recorded to VHS tape. And we thought that was the bomb, right? And so, like, we're going out and we're making our little short films. We're, like, setting it up in his driveway and pulling his car in to make it, you know, to make it look like, you know, we're pulling into the parking lot. And that's like, those are our location shoots all around his house. We couldn't do any editing, right? Because it's all, like, we're trying to edit through our shot.
Right. So,
like, because it's like, it was either do that or get a second VCR. And somehow, like, record from one tape to the other to try to get something. Now, to think that was, you know, really a long time ago, but not all that long ago. And you're sitting here, you're filming films on your phone. Jeez.
Definitely. Like, the only negative to the phone, I know the first film was storage space, battery life. So I've definitely upgraded since then, but yeah, that first film, right. The iPhone was my best friend. Yeah,
I got 6 hours left on this battery. Let's go. So when you are getting ready to start a new project, so you've got the story. First of all, do you write it out?
I don't. And I know a lot of people do. And a lot of times, you know, people come to me and say, you know, who writes the script and that type of thing. And I don't write. I like it to be as raw as possible. So I'll come up with the idea for the
gist.
Film.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gist. I'll outline actually halfway through filming. Right. I'll start to outline.
Because that's also how we do. Uh-huh.
Right. But then I'll just start contacting people and collecting that content as much as possible. So, yeah, that's the fun part.
So I take it that you're not part of the it's like I think of it as the Ken Burns documentary style, where you've got the one omniscient narrator who's always it's always Corey. What is it? It's Corey. I forget the guy, but this is the same narrative. You know, going through the Civil War, General so and so talked to the da 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 da. All right. So I take it you're not that. Are you more the documentary where it's just you take out any form of sort of external narrator and just have people talking and just let that flow?
Yeah, the only time that I really go back and will narrate anything, and it's always, you know, after the fact, I've got everything together and I need a transition piece to connect one thing to another, or to further explain something, especially so in the Anywhere But Here film with the incarcerated men here,
right.
there's a little bit of narration in there because I'm telling you about statistics of African Americans being incarcerated,
right.
So you have just a little bit there, but that's about it. I try to keep it where the story is being told by the subject.
Okay, so do you ever think there will come a time where you will move away from truth documentary and go into a more fictionalized documentary?
No, I doubt it. It's not interesting to me enough. No.
Yeah, cool.
I just really like telling the stories and connecting with the people.
With the people in it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, going to someone's house that I've never been to before and meeting that individual, and being here in Charlottesville, being such a small connected community, it's really easy to make those connections and get to those people.
And that's really great. I mean, there's something to be said, especially with film. Like I was talking, we're so used to, or at least I'm so used to, thinking about film being an external quality or external product that's brought in from the outside that's shown here, to have somebody who is willing to explore the stories around here, explore our stories, mm-hmm. and to look at them and record them and broadcast. Because we really, especially, those of us in the theater world, we really are our stories.
Right.
Right. So much of what we are as a culture, so much of who we are as people, are the stories we tell ourselves and tell ourselves over and over again. Mm-hmm. So great. And I get what you're talking about. We had, we had someone coming here who, had spent years researching the civil rights struggles in Danville. Mm-hmm. And her experience, and you could tell as she talked about it, that she just got hooked of going down there again and again and meeting people and talking to people and finding out their stories and being surprised at what she found there.
Right. Yeah, I know with me being from Charlottesville, I've realized through the course of making these films that there's so many stories that I've never known, and in so many places that I would go to on a regular basis and never know the story of the space. So I know with Burley Middle School, which used to be Burley High School, I'm currently producing a film called Albemarle's Black Classrooms.
Wow.
And that film tells the story of the educational experience for African Americans in Albemarle County.
Right.
But then also the story of those buildings.
Yes.
All the Rosenwald schools and Freedman schools that are out there in the county. Mm-hmm. One and two room schools, Burley mm-hmm. High School, Albemarle Training School. But I'm at Burley Middle School at the time, and I didn't go there. I went to Henley. But my grandmother was from the first graduating class from Burley High School.
Wow.
And until recently, I never knew that her picture is on the wall there.
Right. Oh, right? Wow. That's so great.
So, I'm seeing like great aunts and uncles, their pictures are there, that type of thing. So I know at one point I stopped filming and I realized I was just sitting there looking at all the stuff, and I hadn't even filmed in the last half an hour.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you should do something about Vinegar Hill.
I've actually thought about that. I've been kicking around an idea to do a film about the missing middle class, the missing middle black class,
yes,
including Vinegar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be titled The Missing Middle, but I have been kicking around the idea for the last few months. My wife and I have been kind of working on that.
Well, maybe The Missing Middle Passage. Lorenzo, thank you so much for coming on. Please tell people the where and the when once again of the Moppintown Film Festival.
Sure. July 16th and 17th at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. And you can go to moppintown.com. That's M-A-U-P-I-N-T-O-W-N to get the full schedule. And it is free to everyone.
Excellent. Excellent. Keep filming. Keep curating other people's films. Come on back and tell us about what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm. All right, 52 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local arts, where the stories are local, the arts are local. It's you. It's about you. And it's about time for that one part of the show that you know. It's Leslie's Weekly Rant.
All right. Well, I'm playing a little jazz today because today is Father's Day. It's a day some of us gloss over. I have a vested interest in Mother's Day because I am one. But I couldn't let the day pass without paying equal tribute to all the dads out there. For years now, we've heard all the stories of deadbeat dads or absent fathers. And sure, there are some of them out there. But there are others out there, too. There are fathers who take the responsibility seriously. There are fathers who take great joy in being with their children. There is one such a man I'd like to talk about today. He grew up in a household of six kids, not far from where I'm standing right now. His family didn't have a whole lot of money, but they stuck together. He was moved to Newport News when he was little, but came back for summer visits with extended family. He met a woman who already had two boys, married her, and raised them as his own. Of course, he finished high school and got a good job. He's civic-minded. He's active in his community and his church. A few years ago, he reconnected with a childhood sweetheart and married her. She also had two children and what would be three grandchildren. And again, he brought all five into his heart and his life without skipping a beat. He is affectionate and funny. He has integrity. He is fiercely loyal. He never takes anything too seriously, including himself. And most of all, he knows the true meaning of family. He knows it's not just defined by blood. He knows it's also defined by heart. He is the one who will drive you to the airport or to a doctor's appointment if you need him to. He's the one who will make sure you're safe, even when you don't ask him for it. He is possibly the most generous, kind, and big-hearted man I have ever met. With an adventurous spirit and childlike optimism, he'll try just about anything once. I may not have his blood in my veins, but I am enormously proud to call him my father. I'm so glad he married my mother. He's made her happier than she ever thought she could be. He showed her what real love should look like. And in turn, modeled that for me, giving me a new standard to judge what really makes a man a father. So, Pops, this one's for you. Happy Father's Day, James Thomas. I love you.
Show about local art on 94.7 WPBC, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. We would like to thank our guests, Addison Dodds and Cullen from Bell Dam. Check out their new CD, Still the Wretched Linger, at their Bandcamp page. And whenever you see Cullen walking down the street, Also, thank you to Lorenzo Dickerson coming in to talk to us about the Muppetown Film Festival, July 16th and 17th at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. Put it on your calendars. It's free. No reason to miss this sucker. It's Clint and Leslie. Thank you for listening. Tell people about the show. Tell us about the show. Tell each other about each other. Be good. See you next week.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.